If you have a Bible, you can turn there now to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. That's our text for this evening, part one of two of this beautiful text that ends this beautiful book. Before I read this text, I want to give an illustration that might help us understand what this text is all about or how to approach this text. The illustration is that of a Jewish seven-layer cake. I wonder if any of you ever had a seven-layer cake. Six layers of yellow sponge cake stacked with layers of chocolate, splitting the layers, and then caramel cream across the top. Delicious cake, layer after layer, all together, all the richness, all the moistness as the layers come together in one wonderful piece of cake that we would love to consume. I'd love to have one for you this evening, but I don't. And Kevin DeYoung has particularly helped me thinking through some of this illustration, saying that Scripture functions at times a bit like a multi-layer cake. Let me give an example. In the coming weeks, we're going to be singing through Psalm 119. Dean introduced that to us this morning, all about God's Word. I might say, Psalm 119 is about all about the Old Testament people of God learning to love the Torah, learning to love God's law. That's a layer of understanding of Psalm 119. And the next week, another elder or pastor might get in the pulpit and say, Psalm 119 is all about or drives to Jesus Christ who kept the Word perfectly. Another layer of richness in Psalm 119. And then the next week, I might get in the pulpit and say, Psalm 119 is about your need to love God's Word and treasure it in your life. Another layer of richness. One text, but layers upon layers of depth and meaning as we plunge into the depths of this unified whole that's given to us. No contradiction between the layers. It's like that seven-layer cake. In one way, it's all the same. But growing richness as we dive in. Now, why do I say this? Because in Proverbs 31, students of Scripture find layers and layers of richness in the text, diving in and finding layers of glorious truth found here. The next 2 weeks, we're going to see four layers in Proverbs 31. Four layers. Two this week, two next week. This week, our two layers will focus on the glory of the woman of Proverbs 31. Next week, and this might surprise you, we're going to focus on the glory of the man of Proverbs 31. And all of this, we're going to see the glory of God in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be challenged to the life of wisdom as we leave this book. And conveniently, we'll be leaving this book as we leave the year 2020 and challenged to go into 2021 as people of wisdom to the glory of God. So I'm excited for this. I pray you are. This is the Word of God that we are coming to. Let's pray before we read. Father, we pray that You would come and that there would be a great richness, a great meaning of glory and grace given to us as we consider this beautiful and wonderful text of Your Scriptures. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the Word of God. Well, this may be a strange question to start with when we consider the Proverbs 31 woman, but I'll ask it anyway. Why do people love superhero movies? Why does everyone love superhero movies? In the last 20 years of the previous century, the box office market for superhero movies was something like $100 million a year. Around the first 10 years of this century, this millennium, that market boomed, rose sixfold all the way to about $600 million a year. And then in the next 10 years, it boomed again and reached in the last decade a market of $1.9 billion a year, with a high point in 2018 of $3.2 billion spent at the box office to go watch superhero movies. And some of you, as you think about your financial decision in recent years, are saying, I know what's contributing to the phenomenon. I have started going to the theaters. And the question is, well, why? Why is this market just exploding for these people of strength beyond measure? They can fly, they can run, they can pick up trains, they throw webs, they fight the villain, and they win, and people can't get enough of it. Why do you think it is? If it's your money going to the theaters, why is it for you? Why do you think it is for everyone around you? Do we crave something that's greater than us? Do we long to see in the real world around us something more spectacular than we're used to seeing? Do we kind of find the world dull and think it would be a little less dull if we had some superheroes? Maybe we feel weak. We want to find in ourselves or in someone else something more super than we are. What does it say about us that we love, in our culture, the superhero film? And what does that have to do with Proverbs 31? Well, Proverbs 31 pictures the excellent woman as a hero, kind of like a superhero of sorts. Scholars agree Proverbs 31 is framed as a heroic poem modeled after ancient lands' war songs sung about their heroes. Their great men or their great victors who have gone forth to battle, the songs that would be written about the ones coming back from their heroic victories. We see this kind of thing around us in medieval literature, song or poem about Beowulf. Many of you have read that in your middle school or high school years. His lieutenant first sees him. Nor have I ever seen out of all the men on earth one greater than has come with you. The sense of greatness and splendor that we long for, and Proverbs 31 is modeling that, some would say satiring that, but really just extolling, really, this woman more excellent than you can imagine. She is the hero. She is the heroine. She is the super one. No one can find her, verse 10. Verse 29, she surpasses all the women in the world. If you look at the verses in between 10 and 29, she is beyond belief in her greatness, and we'll see that as we go through. Well, some of you women are terrified right now because you're anticipating the point of the sermon being something like, go be a superhero. You're thinking, I'm not sure I want that to be the point of the sermon tonight. Don't worry. There will be a call to all of you women here. We want to work through the text. and see what's the call that emerges for us. What we want to start with is just thinking about that craving, that longing that sends you or me or whoever to the box office. This longing for greatness. This longing for heroes. And Proverbs 31 presses in on that longing and says, you're going to find it where? You're going to find it in the wisdom of God. Your desire for the spectacular will actually be met in the splendor of this woman of Proverbs 31. How is that going to work out? How are we going to find the splendor of wisdom here? We need to go through our layers. Two layers that we find in Proverbs 31 this evening. And the first is this. Proverbs 31 summons you to the splendor of Lady Wisdom. Proverbs 31 summons you to the splendor of Lady Wisdom. If you were here last week and you heard our consideration of Lemuel and his mother, you shouldn't be surprised that again we're going to Lady Wisdom here, just as we saw Lemuel's mother echoing Lady Wisdom. We see this one she speaks of, echoing, reverberating the Lady Wisdom of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs begins with a woman. Proverbs 1, Lady Wisdom crying out. This woman of wisdom is the personification, the picture of the character of God. The very wisdom of God revealed in this allegorical woman, if you will, who comes and summons and calls us to commune with God in all of His richness. Commune with God and walk the pathway of life. As we've worked through Proverbs these many months, we've been shaped, I pray, in this life that walks and communes with God. Fellowships, if you will, with the wisdom of God. That's what Lady Wisdom cries for. So Proverbs begins with a woman. Proverbs ends with a woman. The prologue of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 through 9, ends Proverbs 8 and 9 with Lady Wisdom coming to the crossroads. Proverbs 9, Lady Wisdom sends out her women to invite you to come feast in her house. The prologue starts and ends with this woman. Proverbs 1, Proverbs 31, the whole book of Proverbs starts and ends with the woman. If we were to look at the structure of Proverbs, if we saw Proverbs like a house and we stripped down the drywall and got to the core and found the key supporting beams, at the key supporting beams of the book of Proverbs, we'd find a spectacular woman of wisdom. And as we trace our way through Proverbs 31, we find that this woman that we are summoned to echoes, reverberates, summons our minds to Lady Wisdom herself. She's the superhero of the book of Proverbs. So let's just trace through and see some of the key ideas. Verse 10 to 31, maybe some of you aren't convinced. You say, well, this isn't quite how I thought of the Proverbs 31 woman. Let's just move verse 10 and let's move all the way through and start to see how this one is indeed echoing that woman of wisdom of the opening part of Proverbs. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. This is a woman that you are supposed to marry. Proverbs 4, 4 through 9, the son of the father is told to go what? Marry wisdom. He's told, get wisdom. Love her, prize her, embrace her. There's an intimacy there. Put a garland on her head. Go have a wedding ceremony. Go find a wife. Her name is Wisdom. Put a garland on her head. Get married to her. In some ways, that's the point of Proverbs. Go marry wisdom. It's a bit different than how Paul frames our marriage relationship with the Lord in Ephesians, where you have Christ in the church. But there's still this idea of fellowship, relationship. Proverbs doesn't see wisdom abstractly. It sees wisdom relationally. And we're called to marry Lady Wisdom. We continue, Proverbs 31:10. She is far more precious than jewels. Basically quoting Proverbs 3:15, she, wisdom, is more precious than jewels. By the way, we'll be moving through these fairly quickly. I don't expect you to get all the references down of every single place there's an echo. We'll move through it and get the sense. 31:10, more precious than jewels. 3:15, more precious than jewels. Proverbs 8:11 says the same thing. Lady Wisdom is more precious than jewels. Who is this one? It is Lady Wisdom, the precious one. Look at verse 12. She does good all her life. Just like Lady Wisdom, Proverbs 2:20, where her path is the way of good. Verse 13, she works with willing hands. We also see her hands at work in verse 19 and verse 20 of Proverbs 31. In Proverbs 3:16, we learn that long life is in her right hand, riches and honor in her left. That is Lady Wisdom. In verse 14 and 15 of Proverbs 31, we see this woman providing food for her household. In verse 16, she plants a vineyard. Well, who does that in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 9. Lady Wisdom prepares a feast, and she calls us to come to the feast, and on the menu is wine, the fruit of the vineyard. You just trace your way through the references here and we find an echo or a reverberation, a callback or a quotation to an earlier part of the book that was summoning you, all of you men, women alike, to Lady Wisdom. You look at verse 15. She rises while it is night. Look at verse 18. Her lamp does not go out at night. She doesn't sleep. You caught that? You go by her house and it's the middle of the night. There she is. She's up at work. Verse 18, her lamp doesn't go out. She's still working. Part of the way this works in Proverbs is the fool is always tempted to go at night the path of Lady Folly, to go pursue the way of darkness. And Proverbs says, Lady Wisdom's light is always on. You can always walk the pathway of wisdom. You can always turn down her street. She's echoing the character of God here, who never slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 18 to 24, this woman is providing. She's providing to the poor. She's providing clothing and bed coverings and linen and all of this for those in her house. Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 8 is the one that fills our treasuries. Verse 25, she's full of strength and dignity. Verse 17 also had strength. Proverbs 8:11, the Lady Wisdom that shows up at the crossroads says, I am one of strength. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. That Lady Wisdom's job, Proverbs 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. And that's what this woman does. She is announcing the voice of wisdom. So no wonder, verse 29, she surpasses all women around her because she brings the very wisdom of God. The final verse, her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 8, 34 and 35, wisdom cries out, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life. That is a lot. Over and over again, Proverbs here is summarizing. It's taking the virtues of wisdom that we've been called to and it's packing it into this poem. It's an acrostic, an A to Z kind of poem. Calling you, calling all of us to this Lady of Wisdom, this hero beyond belief. Beowulf, Hercules, Wonder Woman, they've got nothing. They've got nothing on this lady. She is unbelievable. She is calling you, calling all of you to life itself. And the call for you is to go marry her. To go bind your life to the wisdom of God. And the basic message of Proverbs is, summarizing in some ways the whole book is, if it's up to you, if it's up to me, you'll never find her. You'll never find her. Who can find her? Verse 10. We run around our whole life and we never find the way of wisdom. Why? She is transcendent. She comes from the realm of God Himself. She is beyond us, is the idea here. This wisdom is not something we can grasp. We're just these tiny little creatures. And even if she was near us, who are you and me in the book of Proverbs on our own? We're the fool. We're the simple. When Google sends you your monthly email about all the places you visited, in Proverbs terms, Google would tell you, you visited the path of Lady Folly 45 times this month. That's where we live our lives, is it not? not just in terms of immorality, but in terms of our whole structuring on our own, we look and say, I want to go the way of foolishness. I wonder how many of you would say, you know, I've taken 44 sermons of Proverbs in or something like that. But I still see myself going down the way of folly. I still see foolishness. My kids and I, we've been talking about a term Carl Ellis came up with, do your own thingism. Maybe I've referenced this before, and that's kind of the way of the fool. Do your own thing. Who cares how great she is? I'm going my way. The message of Proverbs is we don't find Lady Wisdom. Our only hope is that Lady Wisdom finds us. We find the Lady Wisdom. We find the wise love of God shown to us. That's what it's a picture of, Lady Wisdom, picturing the wisdom of God coming to us. Only as the wisdom of God would find us. In Proverbs 1, this woman shows up in the marketplace, the streets. She shows up in the chaotic realm of life. It's not looking for her at all. And she sees the fools and she just shouts as loud as she can, whoever listens to me will dwell secure without dread of disaster. She's saying, come listen to me. Proverbs 8, she shows up at the crossroads. All these fools can't figure out which way to turn. And she says, turn to my gates. Whoever finds me finds life. In Proverbs 9, she makes the feast and she sends out her servants to go find the fools and say, get in my house now. You need wisdom. The message of Proverbs is the unfindable finds us. What we would not search for pursues us. The wisdom of God, something you could never grasp, I could never grasp. It's heroic beyond belief. And the message of Proverbs is, here it is, I'm putting it in your lap. This is the wisdom of God to you. Now, how does the Church of Jesus Christ experience this encounter with the wisdom of God? Lady Wisdom is not Jesus. But you see, Lady Wisdom presents an allegory or in picture what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. We would never find Jesus on our own, but Jesus showed up at the crossroads. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power and wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God. Colossians 2, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Treasures we could never find unless He swung the storehouse doors open. See, the wisdom of God can be yours this evening because Jesus Christ has come. He is more precious than jewels. He has prepared a banquet for the people of God to eat. He is one of strength and of dignity. He is one whose words are indeed the words of wisdom. His works praise Him in the gates, because the gates of hell couldn't stand against Him. He has risen from the dead. He has conquered. And His wisdom is announced to all of us, even here tonight. That's a superhero. That's a hero beyond belief. The hero of heroes, Jesus Christ. And you are to say, all my wealth is not enough to grasp this one who has been revealed to me in Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you know this wisdom. That Jesus Christ has found you. You see, Proverbs 31 summons us to Lady Wisdom, and Lady Wisdom drives us to Christ. So let me ask, how's your marriage? How's your communion with God? Do you have this kind of relationship? Do you have a walk with wisdom, where you are indeed personally walking the life of wisdom with God as your anchor and strength? Do you have a practical plan for living that out? Do you have a reading plan in the Scriptures for 2021? I'd love to help you with that. Do you have a plan to say, I want to know the wisdom of God more? I want to know Christ more. He's a hero beyond your wildest dreams. You'll never stop being able to be amazed at this one. Proverbs 31 should make you long for Jesus. That's layer number one. But I think I may have caused a problem for some of you here tonight. Maybe some of you women would come up to me and say, well, you know, Proverbs 31 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I've done Bible studies on Proverbs 31. It's framed and it's up in a prominent place in my house so I can know how to live out my calling. This is what's challenged me to be a woman of God, and you just kind of rip the carpet out from underneath me. What do I do now? And I might say, well, yes, there's something that maybe our horizons can be expanded and see more in Proverbs 31 than we imagined. But I'll also give you this word. Layers. Maybe others of you who say, you know what, I just avoided a close one. Because I thought I was going to be challenged to be a greater woman of God from Proverbs 31. I was a little nervous about it, but clearly that's not what this text is about. I was really close. Thankful the pastor didn't go there. I would just say, layers. There are layers in this text that you must see. There's a second layer. In some ways tonight, the rest of the sermon is calling to the women that are here. You men, is what you pray for the women around you. Next week there will be more direct words of the men as they think about their calling as it relates to this text. But layer number two is this. Women, you are called to reflect Lady Wisdom. You are called to reflect Lady Wisdom. There is some clarity to that in the text, that the macro picture of Proverbs, this woman echoes. I keep using that term, echo or reverberating. The sound keeps coming back of Lady Wisdom who showed up earlier in the book. But at the micro level within the text, Proverbs 31, this is Lemuel's mother telling him the kind of wife he's supposed to go marry. We do see practical things being done in the text that are the kinds of things Israelite wives would have done. I think most clearly, verse 30, we see this woman is called to fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is not a divine task. The Lord is fearful. We are called to fear Him. Women, you are called to fear the Lord. You are called to encounter this God and then be on your knees in fear. So there is a call here for women to in some way reflect the character of this heroic lady. And now I've created other problems for so many of you perhaps. I hear what you're probably thinking. I'll illustrate it like this. One of the most popular songs of the last few years. For some reason my kids just love this song. They dance all around every time they hear it. We love it. We sing it. They sing it a decent amount. The song reads like this. It's a man singing, but it would fit for a woman. He says, I've been reading the books of old, the legends and the myths. Achilles and his gold, Hercules and his gifts. Spider-Man's control and Batman with his fists. And then here's the line. Clearly, I don't see myself upon that list. As this guy's saying, I go to the superhero movies and I read about Achilles and I read about Hercules. And I'm not very much like that. Most of you women would say, you know, I'm not on the list. I'm not on the list of the superhero woman of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Or maybe you've tried to be on the list and you know that doesn't work. There are some models that I think we have in our culture of reading a text like this that more or less call women to be Lady Wisdom herself. As opposed to reflecting Lady Wisdom, to be Lady Wisdom. There's a kind of reading, and some have called it a kind of homeschool mom reading of this text. I love homeschool moms. I'm married to a homeschool mom. But there's a way that sometimes we read this kind of thing. To borrow an illustration from one of my seminary profs, there's this vision that what the woman is supposed to be doing is doing a science experiment with one hand, grading a math test with the other. She's got a baby strapped to her chest, and she's churning butter with her toes. And it's just this idea that this woman is supposed to be able to do all of these things because she is the Proverbs 31 woman. Maybe there'd be other ways we'd read this text. Maybe a super feminist kind of reading, that this is the superwoman in the public square and she never sleeps, she never does anything like that because she's always doing something spectacular. Look at this woman here. We need to realize in the text that our call, particularly the call of the woman, is to reflect Lady Wisdom. Not be Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is a reflection of a divine attribute of God. It's a personification of one of God's attributes. And God in His character, because He is infinite, can actually do all things at once. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. We, you, are finite. The character of God has been illustrated before like a single ray of white light. That white light that holds all the colors of the rainbow in one. And God can be this and do this because He is infinite. He can hold all the perfections together in one. But what happens when a light shines through a prism? What is refracted out on the other side? Individual colors of light. Individual colors of light. There's a separation. You start to see distinction. And red is not green, and green is not yellow, and blue is not orange. There's a distinction and separation. And we as finite creatures are like those refractions of individual color. We are not to be as the white light that holds all the colors at once, but we are to be finite reflections of an infinite God. We are limited, but we reveal an infinite source. So the call to women of this text is not try to be a superhero. The call to women is long for the heroic character of your God to be reflected in you. For the heroic God's actions and person to be reflected in your life in a finite way. So we take away from women the burden of having to be the superwoman, but we also say women can indeed and have a calling to live the life that reflects God's heroic character. And I in my life, and perhaps all of you, can think of those who are literally the heroes in my life, my wife at the top of the list. They are women that reflect the heroic character of God, but they're not the heroes with a capital H. So women, you read verse 10 to 31 and you say, I want to see God's character reflected in me, but not infinitely so. I can't do that anyway, you say. So how does this call you to character? Well, what type of life would it call you to? Verse 31, I want to start at the end, see where the ultimate outcome is and goal. Verse 31 is works that are praised in the gates. There is a kind of work that the world would see or the people of God would see and give glory to God for. The real foundation is in verse 30. The concluding statement about what this woman is really to be. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is a part where you probably are seeing some satire of the world's songs. What would the world write about in this day or in that day, praising women? Would it not be attractiveness in one way or another? And Proverbs says, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about fearing God. That what makes women beautiful, what makes the character of God reflected in women, is that they fear the Lord. You see, that fearing the Lord is actually that opening acknowledgement that says, I am not the hero. God is the hero. You live life on your knees in awe of His power, His goodness, His grace, His majesty. I could never be who God is because I have encountered God and I know that He is greater than me. You have a sense that He is the Lord. What the Church of Jesus Christ needs, what your family needs, what you need in your life, is women who are in awe of God. Women who are amazed at God. Women who spend time cultivating that fear. women who are committed to saying, I want to encounter with God, not just my duties in the world, I want to encounter with God. I want that fear to permeate my life. I want to know this God more richly and deeply. Sometimes the church de-emphasizes this with women, I think. Amy Bird, well-known Christian author, tells a story of she was preparing to lead this women's Bible study, and the pastor caught wind of the kind of things that she was going to be teaching, and his reaction was, you know, I think you're going a little too deep for a women's study. I think you're pressing into too much knowledge of God for women to study. Shame on him. We need women who are in awe of God. We need women who are amazed at His greatness and His glory and His truth and His power. And then that fear of God shapes their whole approach to life. Verse 10 to 29 for this woman are not secondary or separate from fearing God. It's the lived out fear of God. So what is she to be? Verse 10 and 11, she is this excellent one who is precious. Women who fear God are precious jewels in the church of Jesus Christ. They are never second-class citizens. They are prized jewels that exalt the glory of God. And they live out then, verse 12 through 28. They live out that call that will reflect the care of God. The calling of God that will reflect the heroic power of God. I would summarize verse 12 to 28 as it reflects the woman's call as this creative care of calling. Creative care of calling. They are creative task doers. They are engaged. They have mindset. They have ideas. They have strategies. They have ways of putting their hands to what is in front of them for that day. They have care. There's a particular emphasis here on care for others, and they're outward oriented. And they have calling, real opportunity to serve and reflect God's character. So you can go through these and see how this does become the call of a woman of God, not to be all of these things at once, not to be Lady Wisdom, not to be the divine attribute of God, but to be that refraction. So verse 12, you do good. Just as God created and said it was good, so women have an ability and a task to be those who do good with that which they put their heart and mind to. You see the work of hands. Verse 13, willing hands. I noted this with discussing Lady Wisdom. Verse 19 and 20, hands to the distaff, hands to the spindle, hands that are open to the poor. Their hands are at work, making and providing and doing the things of God that they're given. There's so many ways that women's hands are at work to do exactly this. We see in our own midst hands of women who are nurses or work in the medical community. Their hands are daily at work caring for their patients. We see others who are teachers and they spend their time writing problems with their hands or doing illustrations or other things with their hands to compel students to listen. Hands that are making food or caring for children, carrying them through the house. Hands on the steering wheel, driving the family around, getting things done for what the family needs. Hands at the keyboard, typing emails away, doing the work that God's called them to. Hands at work reflecting the fear of God and His character. There's a provision of food, verse 14 to 16. This may or may not be a fine 5-course meal prepared at the end of the day. The idea is not exactly what's on the menu, but does the woman have a desire and a care to provide and, again, be others-oriented? What would God call me to as far as providing nourishment and beauty to those around me? Verse 15 and verse 18, it's that part about the woman always being awake. And verse 27, not having the bread of idleness. I do counsel women to sleep. It's an profitable thing for all of us to engage in. The women are not lazy in the fear of the Lord. We never have a mindset in the church or the family anywhere that, well, the husband does the work and the woman just sort of sits back and watches. whether you're single, married, wherever, hands at work in the kingdom of God. Verse 25, there's strength and dignity. We need women of strength. Women who walk a life of dignity, so counter to the women of the world that we've seen so often in the book of Proverbs. Their mouth is opened with wisdom, speaking the word of God that they've studied in those scriptures to those who are around them. This is a beautiful and a heroic and a high calling that God does indeed have for the women of His church. And I know I start adding those things up and it does start to become daunting again. You feel like maybe you've just been called again to try to be a superhero if you are indeed a woman of God. Let me give this final thought about how to think about our callings, or how for you as a woman to think about your calling as it relates to Lady Wisdom and your reflection of it. Think about this calling both forward and backward. Forward and backward. What do I mean by that? In terms of being summoned to Lady Wisdom, look forward. You can look forward in confidence. The wisdom of God will be heroic for you tomorrow. The wisdom of God will never cease to be heroic. The wisdom of God will never cease to be spectacular beyond your wildest comprehension. You can trust that in the days to come, you will receive heroic strength from your God as He cares for you. But as you look at your own calling, that's a little bit harder. Can I really be this heroic one tonight, tomorrow, and the next day? I'm going to challenge you to think about how the life of the Christian is reflected, often looking backward. One of the times we most frequently observe how God has used someone in a heroic way is not in one faithful, ordinary day, but at the end of their life, as we reflect on them at their funeral. When you look at all that God accomplished through them, you live your life day by day, and it seems very ordinary. You don't have to be a superhero tomorrow, just be faithful to your calling. But have you ever been to a funeral where person after person got up to testify of a woman or a man of God? And they share how this person impacted their life for Jesus that way. They share how this person has a multi-generational testimony because they led this person to Christ, and this person is now leading their family for the Lord. Or you read their obituary of one who has lived for Jesus Christ all their life and you say, wow, I bet that person never felt like a superhero. But looking back on their life, the heroic character of God was just shining through them. And we all stop and say, praise God for the women He's formed, for anyone He's formed to serve Him. So live forward, look forward and say, God will be a hero to me by Christ in the weeks and years to come. And then tomorrow be faithful. And trust that when we look back on your life, or the next generation looks back on your life, if you're walking with God, His heroic character will have shown in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we're amazed at Jesus Christ and we're amazed at His glory. Lord, it is beyond us. We don't want to pretend like that we can lower this text down to the point that we could do it. We don't want to pretend that any of us could be like Christ perfectly. We don't want to pretend that the women of God that You formed could do this perfectly. But You've sent Your Spirit, so we would pray that those who have this calling as women of Jesus Christ would indeed reflect Your character. And we pray that all of us would be in awe of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.